Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for you today. As usual, we start with the good, and when it comes to the North Korean hacking story, Jim, the good stories are hard to find, but we do have one. Mitt Romney, of course, the Republican nominee in 2012, has an idea for Sony. Instead of capitulating and pulling the premiere and never showing it and all the theaters buckling, he says Sony should just put it online for free so people can see the movie that North Korea clearly doesn't want anybody to see. And he says, in exchange, just ask people to donate something like $5 towards Ebola relief. So it could still be a financial hit, obviously, to Sony, but the North Koreans don't get their ultimate wish, and the money is raised for a good cause.
First of all, if you think he's contemplating running for president, he jumped out in front of a lot of other folks who are allegedly definitely running for president on this one. I have a slight beef with his suggestion in the sense that, Sony Pictures put money into this to make this movie, and I don't know if I like this scenario in which they create something and they can't make any money on it. This is only going to further deter people from making movies about controversial topics. Having said that, at this point, we're not going to see it at all, and this really does seem like a full-fledged capitulation. So as far as things go, last time I checked, I think it's like 19,000 retweets and 13,000 favorites. He clearly struck a nerve with this. And I'm glad to see somebody has taken it. Like, if I had said to you the two people who would be most outspoken and clear on this issue of a foreign power blackmailing a studio in order to censor a film that they don't like. Greg, if I told you the two guys leading the charge would be Mitt Romney and George Clooney, not a partnership you often see there. So hopefully, you know, we see them pursue some sort of that path, but it definitely does not feel, it feels like the momentum is all in the other direction.
Doesn't mean we want him as the nominee, but it's a good move for the most part from Mitt Romney. All right. Jim, the crazy martini the last couple of days obviously has been related to the hacking. It was on Wednesday that we were talking about the threat of terrorism in the theaters. Yesterday we talked about the capitulation. One of the things that came out right after Sony's capitulation, though, was some theaters saying, you know what, we were going to run this thing, but now we've got this opening in our schedule and the North Koreans clearly don't want us to show the interview. Well, we'll show Team America World Police from about 10 years ago, which is, of course, the animated spoofing of then-Korean dictator Kim Jong-il. But now Paramount, of course, says, oh, no, 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 you can't do that. That's our property. We're capitulating, too.
I would correct you slightly, Greg. It was a puppet movie, not animated. It did earn the R rating, and the unrated version is even worse. If you're not prepared for extremely explicit puppet sex scenes, you don't want to watch that movie. But you know, in between really crass, tasteless humor, it's hilariously funny, including an incredibly profane, foul-mouthed summary of the Bush approach to terrorism and to threats, as you'll ever find. And in some ways, this was, you know, put together by the guys who do South Park, who are kind of more libertarian-leaning, but you could argue it certainly in terms of the you know, conservative or kind of right-leaning worldview. And the way you deal with threats is probably the most conservative movies of the past decade. A serious fan favorite, even though, as I said, it's more than a little bit graphic for a movie with puppets. The fact that that Paramount was saying, don't show this, indicates it's not just that North Korea has now scared studios into not showing The Interview and canceling that other Steve Carell movie. And clearly any movie that's got a North Korea plotline, you know, is getting scratched and scrubbed and re-edited right now. We're actually kind of engaging in a form of retroactive censorship. If they had a way of making that film never air ever again, these studios would do that. And this is absolute terror on their parts. And I don't know whether it's they're afraid of having their emails hacked and exposed for all the world to see, or whether it's, you know, allegedly a genuine fear of violence in theaters. Sonny Bunch, who writes over at the Washington Free Beacon, points out this thing, like, well, you know, they got to do it because of the lawyers, because they're afraid of getting sued. Why would you sue a movie theater or a filmmaker over somebody doing something like that? The movie theater that had the shooting when the Batman film came out a few years ago apparently is facing a lawsuit. And if somebody raised the point, like, why should a movie theater be held responsible for the actions of an evil person like a theater shooter, or in this case, this hypothetical, and according to Homeland Security, Department of Homeland Security, almost entirely mythical threat of a North Korean agent doing something terrible to a movie theater. This is bad because this is really a wholesale surrender. And basically, anyone with any great influence in culture is saying, we will not make fun of North Korea because we are afraid. And that's a terrifying, terrifying signal to be seen in what was once the United States of America, Greg.
All right, on to the crazy martini now, and back to the Cuba situation, which we talked about yesterday. The president wanting to normalize diplomatic relations with Cuba hasn't happened since the very early 1960s, and the president is doing that as the latest example of something that's kind of thumbing his nose at generally what Congress wants and generally what the American people want, although there's a little bit more division on this one than his unilateral action on amnesty. But basically, the president, as we established earlier on from the NBC poll this week, Jim, has not received the message that most Americans think was clearly sent in the midterm elections. And in fact, he's either ignoring it or just doesn't get it. And people want the president to move in a different direction. But apparently not quite everyone, because Gloria Borger, the political analyst over at CNN, thinks this is just awesome, almost super heroic, you could say.
I was thinking about it this morning, Wolf. I think he's kind of like Clark Kent stepping into the phone booth and coming out with the cape and saying, okay, now I'm going to do what I always wanted to do. And he's doing it.
Jim, you're a comic book guy. How much does that deeply, deeply offend you?
Look, Gloria, leave the comic book references to the experts. And in fact, you know, as a pundit who makes a lot of pop culture references, it's not as easy as it looks. I was having an interesting discussion with some other conservative bloggers last night. You notice, like, the two things that we're being told are, like, major Obama accomplishments. I mean, game changers. They've completely changed this perception of this being a bad year for the president. They involve no persuasion, right? He couldn't get Congress to go along with this. He did not win anybody over. He did not get anybody to change their mind. He did not get people to see things from his perspective. He didn't win the argument. He just decided, I'm going to do this. And the reason he did it is because there was no longer a way for the American electorate to punish him for decisions he made that they don't like. That's not bravery. Bravery is to do this right before the election. And they made lots of noises about this before the election, but they were very adamant that they wouldn't do it because it was going to hurt him in the elections. Well, gee, if it's going to hurt you in the elections and the public doesn't like it, maybe it's not such a great idea. That's not to say what's popular is always right, but the idea that, you know, that he's only willing to do this when his party can't be punished at the ballot box indicates a bit about the lack of popularity and his own subconscious recognition that he can't really change public opinion on this sort of thing. And on the Cuba thing, this is something that's kind of out of the blue. It seems like a giant concession that we give Cuba just about everything they wanted and give a giant lifeline to the Castro regime, you know, when they needed it most, in exchange for getting one guy back who was illegally detained. Cuba doesn't get punished for their outrageous detainment of that American. They get rewarded for it. These are accomplishments. These are the great things that he's done. This is what makes him a great president. You know, basically, like, I've decided to abuse the executive authority I have, and I've decided to just cut out Congress entirely. Want to know the one way this is accurately like Superman?
How's that?
You're waiting for some kryptonite reference or something. But the title Superman comes from Man and Superman by Nietzsche, and this idea of the Übermensch, this, you know, man without limits or anything like that. And in this sense, President Obama very much is a man without limits, particularly constitutional limits. And that is what makes it a thoroughly crazy martini. You know, both his desire to do this, his willingness to do this, and Gloria Borger's willingness to applaud this. All qualifiers are a spectacularly crazy martini today.
Oh, that is spectacular. What do you think Hillary's thinking? It turns out from some of these reports that I guess she was pushing this policy while she was Secretary of State. Didn't happen while she was in that job. But basically, Obama is doing things that are unpopular but fairly popular with the base. So come 2015, 2016, the base is going to be loving this stuff. But she knows if she fully embraces it, it's not going to go so well for her if she is the nominee. So he's kind of put her in a little bit of a pickle here.
He has. I mean, maybe in her mind, she might say, well, look, if he's doing it, I don't have to. And you know, she may hope that the issues are kind of resolved by the time she's running. I do think life got harder for Democrats to win Florida yesterday. And the other, you know, there's a story in Politico today that, you know, the Cuban-American community is just about to open their wallets to whoever the Republican nominee is. Cuban-Americans have been less solidly Republican, and it may be a possibility they're going to actually, you know, drift back very significantly. But the other kind of aspect to all this, I was hearing Chuck Todd talk about it this morning. He's a South Florida guy, and he said that even amongst Cuban Americans who wanted the embargo lifted because they wanted to see their family, they wanted to give them more financial support and all that kind of stuff, they were kind of struck by the tone, in which there was almost no acknowledgement of the duplicity of the Castro regime, very little acknowledgement of the abuses of the Castro regime. Unsurprisingly, just as he did with Obamacare and almost every other idea he has, Barack Obama pitched it as all upside, no downside. And that's what really is kind of, you know, adding insult to injury. You know, that there are people who don't like the policy, but really hate having a bad policy told them that it's this ideal scenario, and this kind of, you know, willful blindness to the consequences of it. I think there's a certain arrogance there that we've seen throughout this presidency, and I don't think it's going to change. And I think that only makes things tougher for Hillary Clinton.
Well, I'm sure the media will be tough on him in his year-end press conference today. Jim, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.
See you Monday, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to tune in Monday for the next edition of the 3 Martini Lunch.